Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Oh, if he isn't yours, he can be. He wants to be. In fact, he came to be. The Word of God says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, listen, friend, if that's you, if that identifies you, if that is your testimony, you're lost and undone and on your way to a Christless eternity, and you know that, hey, listen, friend, God's brought us together today to bring about a change in that. Look, you can go from lost to saved in a moment of time. You can go from the broad way to the straight and narrow way. You can go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in just a moment of time. If you realize you're lost and undone, go to God with a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, as David said in Psalm 51. If you go to him repenting of your sins and humbly asking God to save you for Christ's sake in light of what he did at Calvary, you know what God will do? God will save you. The Bible says, these are the words of Jesus. He said, listen now, he said, for whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe he meant just that. That Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe that. And I believe if you want him, friend, listen, he's dealing with your heart. All you got to do is asking him to save you. Well, excited about the program, excited about the message the Lord has laid upon my heart, excited about the song Debbie's got queued up and tuned up and ready to go. And I'm going to play that in just a couple of seconds. But before I do, I want to tell you where I'm going to take my message from today, the Lord willing. Take it from Psalm 68. Psalm 68, Psalm right after the book of Job, right before the book of Proverbs. Psalm 68, and I'm going to read verses, 18 and 19. Set the psalm up for you a little bit to give you the context of it, and then preach a message out of a verse that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. But before I do that, Deb's got a song she wants to do, and it's just like all the rest. She's written it and recorded it, and the title of it is Heaven Awaits. Heaven Awaits. Now listen, it's available to whosoever will, and it's only actual and real to those that put their trust in Christ. There's a heaven to gain, this old gospel preacher preaches. There's also a hell to shun. Enjoy. I'll be back in a moment.
Down here will be all. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. I'll soon be sailing across that foamy sea where heaven waits me. Heaven awaits those whose trust is in the Lord. Heaven
like I told you before Debbie started singing, it's available to whosoever will. Now listen, you may choose to die lost and go to a devil's hell, but you don't have to. In light of what Jesus did at Calvary, there's no reason for any man, woman, boy, or girl to die lost, to die undone, to die, friend, listen, and end up into a place where there's prepared for the devil and his angels. You can be saved. You can be saved today. Now, my message today isn't just totally salvation, but there's salvation in it. I mean to tell you the salvation all through this. And I pray that God uses this to get your attention and to turn you from darkness to light. In Psalm 68, I'm going to read verse 18 and 19. And the Word of God reads like this: Thou hast ascended on high, Thou hast led captivity captive, Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. And I'm going to talk to you today for just a little while about this thought. I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of salvation, the benefits of salvation. And I'm going to take a few moments, if I may, to set this psalm up, if that's all right. Look, this is a messianic psalm, if you will. That verse 18 that I read in your hearing, if you turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, I believe it is, you'll find that verse used under the inspiration of the Spirit of God by the Apostle Paul. Hey, look, friend, listen. This is talking about the one who has come, who will come again, but the writing of this psalm, he had yet to appear. It was the promised one. It speaks of the deliverer, the Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. It speaks of the one who God promised in the garden to a woman by the name of Eve after she had sinned and said, look, God's going to give you a son. But as we look at this passage of Scripture contextually, and I need to set this up contextually because I'm going to use this verse that I read from your hearing, verse 19, especially when I'm talking about the salvation. He said He daily loadeth us with benefits. I'm going to talk to you about the benefits of salvation and need to explain something to you. This psalm could have been written. It was written by David. That's why the superscription says it could have been written. Although no scholar can pinpoint it exactly, it could, and I think most likely was written by David when he brought the Ark of the Covenant up from the house of Obed-Edom. It fits that. I mean to tell you what David said in this psalm, how that he bragged on the Lord, how it looks, friend, listen, under the coming of the Messiah, and all the things, friend, that is contained in this psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. Oh, listen, friend, I believe with all of my heart that this psalm has both a practical as well as a prophetical application to it. Practically, it's what I'm telling you. This is written by David. And friend, it's a psalm of triumph, if you allow me to say it that way. I mean to tell you, David was leading a procession of people who were excited to have the Ark of God back in the rightful place, friend, that it should have been in. And from the days that the man by the name of Saul, the first king of Israel, chosen by man, allowed by God, where he should have brought it to, but he never did. Hey, listen, it's a psalm of triumph. It's a psalm of victory. And this procession that David was leading, this possession that we have record of in here, friend, it talks about triumph over his enemies. It talks about a time of great rejoicing. And no doubt in my heart, friend, there was great rejoicing if they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant up that had been in the house of Obed-Edom for quite some time. Oh, listen, what a beautiful psalm that it is. But look, let's take it a little bit further. I believe with all of my heart this psalm has not only a prophetical or a practical application or aspect, but it has a prophetic aspect to it. And I believe, listen, friend, that prophetic aspect has two aspects. First, under the first coming when he came to die for the sinner. And the second aspect, when He comes, friend, I'm about to get happy as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule and reign up from the throne of David. But this prophetical aspect, friend, we can see it in two ways as it relates to Jesus Christ, especially, like I've said, through His first coming. When? In resurrection power. Ah, glory to God. On the third day, after His death and burial, He came out from among the dead, just like the Word of God said that He did, that He would. And He came out victorious. He came out with victory, friend, over death, hell, and the grave. He came out victorious over all of His foes. Listen, Satan, that strong man whose house Jesus, the stronger man, entered into and spoiled all his goods. Did He not say over in the Revelation in chapter 1 when He began to speak to John and tell John, look, I want you to write the things which are, the things which thou hast seen, the things which are going to be. Write and tell them, John, that I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and death. When Jesus got up 3 days after that He died at Calvary on a hill called Moriah, He got up just like the Word of God prophesied. He had spoke and promised His apostles, and that after three days, after they'd be delivered up into the hands of wicked and sinful men, He would come back alive. He would come out from among the dead. Now listen to this. I'm talking to you about the benefits of salvation. Because Jesus came out from among the dead. Because He lives forevermore. Now listen, friend. He brought us, glory to God, you and I, sinners saved by grace, a great number of benefits that accompany the salvation of those who trust in Him. But wait, real quickly before I go on into this benefit aspect. Hey, look, this points down to the second coming of Christ too, when He returns in all of His glory. When He returns, I bless God, in the Shekinah cloud of glory. When they see the Son of Man sitting on the clouds of glory. When He told the Pharisees that, they got it. They didn't like it. They knew what He was talking about. And oh, listen, He's coming again that way. Do you know that? Listen, that Shekinah cloud of glory left in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, 10, and 11. But one of these days, and I believe it won't be long off, thank God it's coming back. It's going to find its rightful place. He'll enter in through the eastern gate and bless God in that new temple, that millennial temple. That place where the throne of David will be established. He'll be found sitting up on it where He will rule for 1,000 years. I say glory to God to that, and even so, come Jesus. Hey, listen, friend, when He comes, listen, in that triumphant time, He's coming from the right hand of the Majesty on high, and He's going to take His rightful place, as I've already said, on the throne of David. Hey, listen, friend, you know what He's going to have? He's going to have crowns accompanying that. Many crowns, the Bible said in Revelation 19, they're crowns befitting of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what He's going to do? Bless God, listen. He's going to bring with Him the gifts of His sovereignty. He's going to bring with Him the gifts up for the kingdom. And listen, friend, listen. Those of us who have trusted Him are going to know the benefits of salvation. Well, you say, preacher, what are the benefits of salvation? Well, they're way more than I can tell you. I got a few things jotted down that my heart was stirred to, but listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 103, 1 and 2. He said, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I'm telling you, friend, I thank God for the benefits of salvation, things that accompany salvation, things that, listen, because our Savior entered into the stream of humanity through a virgin's womb, lived sinless among us for 33 and a half years, died substitutionally for us, and bless God, rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. I came out from among the dead for our justification. I'm telling you, listen, He's brought many benefits to me and you. In fact, the psalm that I'm preaching from, Psalm 68, has said He daily loadeth us with benefits. Now listen, if you begin to look at that psalm and that verse that I'm taking my text from, you know what it does say? God's able to bear, cause us to bear under our burdens. God's able to enable us to do, endure that which we're being tested with or by. But I'll tell you how God has stirred my heart with this message. I just to take it on face value. Hey, I'm glad God loads us daily with benefits. Now you say, friend, what is a benefit? Well, I'll just tell you, it's a favor. It is a favor conferred on somebody by another. I'm thankful for the benefits of salvation. Well, you say, preacher, what is salvation? Well, let me give you a definition of it that I've had for quite some years now. It is the full and complete and eternal, actually, a divine deliverance from sin and all of its aspects, from its penalty, from its power, and one day glory, hallelujah, from its presence. I don't know about you, but I like that. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I don't have to worry about dying lost, going to a devil's hell, standing before God at the great white throne judgment, and try to answer Him as to why I rejected His Son Jesus as my Savior in light of what He did in dying for me at Calvary. Oh, I'm glad for the things that accompany salvation. I'm glad the things that we could call the benefits of salvation. You say, what are they, preacher? Well, you have to write your list. I've just got a small one. It will not be exhaustive. I'll not be able to spend much time on any of them. But let me tell you a place I'm going to start. I'm going to start with the peace of God that passeth understanding. Hey, listen, the peace of God, period, by the way. And you say, why do you say it like that? Well, we have the peace of God, which Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, that passeth understanding. It goes beyond it, goes beyond comprehension, goes beyond explanation, but it does not go beyond experiment or knowing it in a real way personally. Thank God. But it's not only the peace of God, but it's the peace from God. That's what Paul said in the book of Romans. Thank God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Chapter 5 and verse 1. And you know what? Listen, this peace that we have, the peace of God, the peace from God or with God, friend, it comes from God. You can find that in several places, like I believe it is Galatians 1:3, Romans 1:7, grace and mercy. And the, well, let me turn over there and get it, since I'm having a little bit of a brain fog. He said, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father." I'm glad He's the source of it, and I'm glad, friend, listen, that though we can't explain His peace that we get because of the salvation He's provided us and we have received by faith, we can know it personally and experientially. That's the word I wanted to get a while ago. You say, what else did we get, preacher? Well, thank God, I like this. We become partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that amazing? I'll never get over that. I remember how when God let me see that as it is. Now, I can't explain it, I can't go to the depths of it, but I'm glad to know, friend, listen, by knowing Jesus as my Savior, because I prayed a sinner's prayer. You know what the Word of God tells me? That God, listen, friend, has given me and you, if you're saved, great and exceeding precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Hey, can I tell you something, sir, ma'am? What Adam and Eve lost for me and everybody else in the garden, I gained by trusting Christ. One day at an altar of prayer, thank God, isn't that amazing? Listen, the image was marred by sin, but I'll tell you what, it was repaired. I've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. One of these days, I'll be made brand new, according to Revelation 22 and 5. But right now, isn't that amazing? I've been a partaker. I am a partaker of the divine nature. How wonderful it is. And in being that, you know what else I've got? Thank God, I've got an inheritance that's preserved for me. Listen to this. That's exactly what he said. He said, "Now I've been begotten," in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And I've been, listen now, I have been resurrected or begotten unto a lively hope, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And listen now, it's reserved in heaven for me. Isn't that wonderful? I've got an inheritance that's out of this world. I'm an heir of Christ. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. But wait just a minute. Peter doesn't stop writing there. He goes on to say, not only do you have an inheritance, that's reserved and preserved for you in heaven. But you know what, brother, sister? We that have trusted Christ as our Savior, we that have been washed in the blood, we that have been baptized into the family of God by the Spirit of God, we that have been filled with the Spirit of God. You know what the Bible says? That we are kept by the power of God. It was a great day in my life, sir, ma'am, when I realized I couldn't keep myself. I tried and tried and failed and failed. But when I began to trust and let the Lord do what He had promised He would do long ago, it made a difference in my life. I've got an inheritance that's reserved for me. But Peter says in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1, who is kept by the power of God. I'm kept until the day of my redemption. I'm kept, friend, listen, until that which is going to be revealed in the last time is revealed. Hey, I've got an assurance of salvation that is eternal. And you say, where do you get that, preacher? Well, out of the Word of God. He said in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, that I've got an eternal salvation. I didn't write it. I'm just quoting it to you. That's exactly what the Word of God says. That's exactly the very verbiage that the Word of God uses. And being made perfect, He became, speaking of Christ, the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey Him. In the book of John chapter 5 and verse 24, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Listen, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Hath is perfect tense. Hath, friend, bless God, eternal life. Hey, in the book of Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 35 and following, Paul asked a question, who can separate us from the love of God? And the answer is, nothing and no one. Thank God, listen, friend, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ, Jesus our Lord. I'm glad 1 John chapter chapter 5, beginning verse 11 down through 13, tells us, friend, listen. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. If I've got an inheritance that's preserved for me, I'm glad to know that He's going to keep me until the day I go to get that. Hey, I've got more. I've got more. I wanted to tell you about grace, about His promises, about His power, about the victory over sin. But listen, are you ready to meet Him? Do you know Him as your Savior? Oh, are you experiencing the benefits of salvation? If not, run to Him, trust Him, repent, by faith receive Him, and tell Him you're going to live for Him until the day you go live with Him. Until the next time, friend.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.